The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Today's date is March 28th, 2023. If you want, you can give me a call, and we can talk. 877-207-2276. The last four numbers spell C-A-R-M. That's CARM, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, CARM.org. For those of you who have been hearing me for a while but haven't checked out the site, why don't you? You can go, easily. Just go there, CARM.org. We've had 155 million visitors over the years, over 220 million page views, I think something like over 80 million people, regular return users on a yearly basis. We have a lot of stuff. Oh, it's on a yearly basis? No, that's total. We've had 80 million come back and spend time on the site because this is how it works. All right, so there you go. Hey, if you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. And Let's see. I had to get on Social Security, working on that today. That was fun. That's just an FYI. Yeah, I'm old enough for that. You know, though, I was shopping today, and, I was seeing people who apparently are younger than me, and they're walking slowly in walkers and things like that. I'm not boasting or anything, but I am sure glad that I can still walk quickly. I'm still agile at my age of 66. And, I just thank the Lord that He has given me the ability to move, to work out the gym I did today, and just walk at a fast pace, and no aches and pains. So, except the senility, which my wife said is obviously creeping in. But aside from that, things are good. So, hey, look, if you don't want to call, one of the options you can do is email me. And you can do that at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You can watch, you can contact me that way, and I can read your comments on the air and answer questions and things like that. All right, so for those of you who may be saying, well, what happened to the Facebook page that we were on? Well, Facebook penalized me for what I said, we think is from COVID, for medical misinformation, because after one of the shows, I think it was after one of the shows, during one of the shows, I talked about masks, too. I talked about masks, how masks are the paper, the cloth masks are only 3% effective. 3%, seriously. It's not me saying this. I read the statistics on it and did some studies. And the other mask was those really nice doctor-style masks. They're 50% effective. If you wear them properly and don't touch them, they're about 80% effective. The best masks are 90 N95, and you got to fit them right, and you can't touch them. Once you put them on, you got to leave your hands away your hands get touched with the germs. So I talked about that. That's accurate. And I also in the after show, I went to the CDC website and I did it. I shared it on the screen how to do it, where I went on the CDC website and showed how to get the statistics on deaths related to various vaccines. And I just right there, that's what it was. And, I'll tell you, maybe that's what did it. Misinformation. So you're not allowed to quote the CDC, I guess, or do stuff from the CDC, because that's misinformation, apparently. I guess it is, you know? You go to the official sources, but it doesn't fit the political agenda. So that's now it's just misinformation. This is the problem with this idiocy of misinformation. Well, what is it? It's whatever they say it is. That's all. Whatever they say it is. Yeah, you're just guilty. They don't tell you any specifics. They don't say, just misinformation. Well, what is it? I'm not telling you. Well, what do we do? I'm not telling you. Well, when did we do it? We're not telling you. Well, then how do we know I'm guilty? We're not telling you that either. We're just in control. And the leftists can say all kinds of stuff. The leftists can say that the masks will protect you from COVID. Is that medical misinformation? Oh, heck yeah. But you can say that because it's politically correct. And the masks don't protect you. They reduce infections, but they don't protect you. They're not a cure. You know, I've done the research, and as you know, I'm a researcher, and you know, I'm just ranting a little bit because of this, the idiocy of the information Gestapo that's out there. I believe in freedom. Apparently, the people in control of our country don't. You know, Biden, crime family, and stuff. I tell you, it's just so pathetic to see what they're doing to our country. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, my opinion, this is my opinion, I think good men need to rise up. And we need to get our country back. We need to get our country back. We do. That's what I believe. All right. Oh, that's what I was going to do after the break. I'll do that. So why don't we get on the air with Rudolph from North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why did Balaam, Balaam for going to see Balak when the Lord told him to go and he went and the Lord was upset with him?
Balaam cursed Israel, you mean?
No, he didn't curse him. Because what? The first time he was going to go, the Lord told him not to go.
You're breaking up. It's hard to understand you. That's why I'm having trouble understanding you. On my end, it's breaking up a lot. Anyway, so...
Right now.
Try it now. Let's see what happens. Okay.
Okay. Well, the first time, God didn't want to go. But then when he went, God told him to go, and he sat his donkey, and they said the Lord was upset with Balaam. That's when the angel was about to kill him.
Okay. And I'm waiting to understand the... What's the question?
No, because the Lord... Because he wasn't going to go until the Lord told him to go. And then when he got ready to go, that's when the Lord was upset at him. So I'm just trying to figure out why did he get upset with Balaam leaving, because he told him that he couldn't say anything other than what he told him to say. But he didn't tell him not to go. He told him to go, and when he got ready to go, that's when the angel was about to kill.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that one. I just look it up. I don't want to snow my way through that one. Because I have to see the context. Because Balaam was killed for his sin. But there's different verses, different places where Balaam is mentioned in Numbers and Deuteronomy.
Right, I'm talking about the one in Numbers.
Yeah, in Numbers 31:16, behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, so the plague was among the congregation of the Lord. And so you're asking why did God, okay, why did God kill? So what are you asking?
Right.
Why did
the
what?
When Balak, remember Balak came to Balak? Or he sent people, okay. Yeah, Balak sent people to go towards to Balaam to curse Israel, but God told him he couldn't.
Yeah.
Balak. Right, and then the Lord, the second time, told him that he should go with them, but he couldn't say anything but what the Lord was going to tell him to say. And then he got up the next morning and went, but the Lord was upset with him. I'm trying to understand. Why was he upset? Because the Lord told him to go.
Well, I'll have to read it and see. Off the top of my head, I don't know. It's a good question. So you're asking why was God upset with Balaam, right?
Yes,
right.
Going with the, over to Balak when he told him to go.
Okay. Okay. Oh, excuse me. Woo. I'll have to research that one to see.
Oh, okay. Man. Okay.
Okay. Well, hey, well, you know, it's a good question.
Call you back.
Yeah.
I'll call you back tomorrow and find out.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Why is my server thing not working? Good. I'm trying to write down the question in a file, and I'm having a problem. My computer's wigging out. Okay, sounds good, though. All right, I'll work on it. Okay, buddy?
Okay, well, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, man. God bless. I could sneeze. Oh, man, right there I had a sneeze coming, and it wouldn't go. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. And that's a good question. I'll have to work on that one. I only have, I think it's close to 700 questions I'm supposed to answer. That's not bad, just 700. I think it's like 680-something. So how about that? Not bad, huh? And I'm working on some stuff, too. I got a new idea I'll be working on, and it'll be fun when I get it released. Hopefully you'll like it. We can talk about that, too, sometime. I got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of ideas, a lot of stuff. If you want to call me, 877-207-2276. Also, you can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org, and you'll be able to get in and an email. My computer's acting up. It's doing some weird stuff, so I'm not sure what to say. I'll have to do this and do a couple things here. So if you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. You can email me at info@carm.org if you don't want to give me a call. All right. Having said all of that, let's just get on the phone. That's a weird thing on the Comrex. Let's get to whoever this is. Hey, you are on the air.
Hey, Matt. I've got it's an unusual question. Nice to talk to you, buddy. God bless you. This is Herbert in Raleigh, or Herb.
All right.
This is not a deep question. It's a curious question I've always wondered every time I hear your show come on the air. When the narrator on the Truth Networks introduces your show, he says, taking your calls, granted, and then he goes on whatever he says after that. What is the word he's saying at that point? Matt Slick, taking your calls, granted. And then he gives the number or something. And I'm just curious what that word is.
I don't know.
Ever heard when it comes to.
I don't know what it is. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't even pay attention to it because I'm usually doing something else. You know, I'm a multitasker,
yeah.
So I work a lot on. Well, I'm even while I'm talking, I'm working on a little computer issue that I'm having. So, one of the files won't save.
Well, I totally understand, and I always come up with different questions, but this one is indeed, it's just more plain old curiosity. I don't know what that word is he says every day.
I don't know. I don't know. I got to figure it out. So I don't know. I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it and see. Maybe someone is listening, and I'm looking and don't see anybody responding if they know what that is. Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
It's the part that says taking your calls, granted, whatever that word is, that's all I'm trying to figure. I will have more serious questions in the future, buddy, but I just had a short time to talk to you. And I've always wanted to ask you that when I had more time and you had more time. So, God bless you. Thank you as always for all you do. And I'll call you.
All right, man. Sounds good, buddy. God bless. Thanks. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have several open lines. Also, some of the guys at the radio station said the intro, the previous caller asked, was it that word? The intro guy says, taking your calls and responding to your questions. Taking your calls and responding to your questions. So there you go. I hope that answers that question. Let's get on the air with Travis from North Carolina. Travis, welcome. You're on the air.
What's up, man? It's your Slick Eye in training, man.
Hey, man, what do you got?
I'm hanging in a minute. I'm on unconditional election this time.
Oh, you're the guy from yesterday.
I'm understanding. Yeah. The slick guy in training from prison.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure.
Unconditional election. All right. So I'm understanding God doesn't look ahead and see, well, this person is going to be good, so I'm going to go ahead and put him in the game, and then he's not, so he's out. So I understand that. He's looking and he's saying, okay, this, by my own sovereign will, this person is who I'm going to elect. But yes, we still have the free choice, and I'm getting like discombobulated with him electing, but we still have the free will.
Free will does not mean that we can act on the same level and competence as God himself. So God knows all things actual as well as potential. He knows all things that are real and that are going to take place, and all things that could if things had been different. So to God, everything is known eternally before the universe existed. So the illustration I use about this is to take a blank piece of paper, and there's no lines, there's nothing on it, and you put a dot in the middle, and that dot represents God, and the blank area represents nothing. There's nothing there. And so God, in his mind, knows how to bring about a certain universe with all the details worked out in it. And so you draw a squiggly line from that dot out to the edge of the paper. And that's one of the potential universes that can exist, and everything on that squiggly line. And you can draw another squiggly line and another one going out different directions. And these exist only at that time before the universe is made. Those are all potentialities. They're potential existences that God can know in his mind because he knows all things. So are you with me so far?
I am.
Okay. So on any, let's pick this one line. And on this line is where you make your choices. No one's forcing you to make a choice. You're making choices. So let me step sideways and talk about Adam in the garden. So Adam is what's called the efficient cause of his own sin. Efficient cause means he did it, no one else did it. He chose to eat the fruit. No one forced him to. No one put the fruit in his hand and forced his hand into his mouth and forced his mouth open and forced him to swallow and everything. No one forced him to do it. He did it of his own volition. So he's what's called the efficient cause of his own action. And this action was a rebellion. The proximate condition would be the circumstances in which he freely partook. The circumstances, the proximate condition, would be the garden, the two trees, the fruit tree, the allowing of the evil one to come into the garden. These are all because God allowed all of these. He allowed the serpent to come in. He allowed Adam to receive the fruit from his wife. He allowed Eve to be deceived. But God's not the one responsible for him, because he just allowed them to do that. They were free. So take that squiggly line where that little bit of action occurs in that one squiggly line that God brings into existence. And you draw a little circle on it, you know, and then you draw a line and make a bigger circle. And that squiggly line has all the events of the fall right there. And the freedom of Adam is in that little circle. He's the efficient cause. But that squiggly line and everything in it can only exist if God brought it into existence. And so he brings things into existence directly and indirectly. He can bring the universe directly into existence by commanding it. Let there be light. Bang, there it is. But he can indirectly bring things into existence by letting things happen the way they're going to happen, the way Adam, for example, freely chose to rebel against God. No one made him. No one forced him. It was his own choice.
Okay.
That free will choice is on that squiggly line. And it can only exist if God brings all the conditions to bear. And so, the freedom of man and the sovereignty of God work together. Furthermore, Jesus had perfect free will because he's God in flesh. Jesus has perfect free will. And yet he says this in John 5:19. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. This is inseparable operations doctrine right there. And John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, my judgment is just, etc. So Jesus, who has free will, says he can do nothing of his own initiative because he came to do the will of the Father who sent him, John 6:39. Where Jesus says very clearly, he says, verse 38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus has free will, but he didn't come to do his will, but the will of the Father. So Jesus' free will worked with the design and purpose that God the Father had with him, and they worked together. Okay?
Okay. All right. It does. So could, this is probably a dumb question, could Jesus have chosen to come off the cross if he wanted to?
Now, it's actually a very good question, and the answer is yes and no, because the word could be understood in different ways. Generally, this kind of question is asked of the man who nailed the wrist of Christ to the cross. Could that soldier have done anything differently? Well, yes. He is the efficient cause of his own action. And he was obeying orders, but he still chose to make that decision. And he nailed the wrist to that cross beam. Could he have done anything differently? Well, of course. He could have stood up and said, I'm not going to do this, and walked away and faced the consequences. So he had the potential to do it, but he chose not to. So could he have acted differently? In one sense, yes, but in another sense, no, because in the proximate condition that God can arrange, he can bring about whatever he desires. He knows how people will react and what their choices will do, given circumstances. Furthermore, God can put it upon the hearts of people to do certain things. So when you go to Acts 16:14, for example, it says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. So God had a direct effect on the heart of Lydia, as well as Proverbs 21:1, where it says God moves the heart of the king where he wishes it to go. Now there's a break, so we'll continue with this after the break, so please stay tuned. Hey folks, we have four open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Ah, found it. Hey, look, what we're doing is we're moving over to Rumble. I just want to tell everybody, look, we really suggest you go to sign up for Rumble. It's like YouTube, except better. It is. It's better. And so all you got to do is go to rumble.com, R-U-M-B-L-E.com, /user/carmorg, C-A-R-M-O-R-G. That's it. And you can also get to it, I believe, off the CARM homepage. So that's it. You can go to Rumble and just type in CARM.org, and you'll find that we have 275 followers right now, and we're producing videos, and they're slowly going up because, hey, everybody goes to YouTube, but we're having trouble with YouTube because they don't like what I say. But you know what? On Rumble, you can say what you want. There's freedom over there. So we're moving stuff over. In fact, we're not even broadcasting to YouTube right now. We're just going to Rumble. So if you want to watch me sit at my desk talking, ooh, it's exciting, then all you got to do is go to Rumble. Type in CARM.org in the search. You'll find it. And let's get back on the air with Travis. All right, Travis, did that help?
Don't you love cancel culture?
Cancel culture. Yeah, well, you know, it's just part of the demise of our culture, our society, and the rise of violence, and the obfuscation of truth, and the blurring of gender roles, and it's ultimately it's all an attack on God himself, And when the unbelievers who are ruling are, and they're serving their evil one, when they get in complete control, they'll turn against the Christians. It will. It's going to happen. And it's just how it happens in all the countries. What's that?
I think lack of a socialist communist president would probably help us some, but...
Yeah, we have a commie president who seems to be more interested in helping the drug cartels of Mexico and the communist Chinese than our country. He is an embarrassment to the world, to our country, before the world, that is, and I call him the Biden crime family. And I don't trust him. I don't trust the Democrats. I think the Democrats are, in my opinion, most of the Democrats are in public office, at least when I see in Washington, are evil. In fact, I just heard that the parent, what was it? There's an act the Republicans put forward to allow the parents to know what's being taught to their children in school and have access to the books. And the Democrats all voted against it. So the Democrats, I don't trust them anymore, and I can throw a ton of elephant excrement. So, yeah.
That's like that.
That's right.
But, yeah, that does help quite a bit. I do understand that.
Yeah. All right, so... unconditional election. So this is the free will issue. Now, a lot of people, what they try and do, I can go on and talk about this, they try and solve this problem by restricting, in a sense, restricting God's sovereignty over our free will. They want our free will to be sovereign on an equal level to God. And then what some people do is add something called prevenient grace, which I call kindergarten theology. I think prevenient grace is a joke.
Yeah, I heard you talk about it.
Uh-huh. It's amateur theology to try to explain things, the difficulties. They don't submit themselves to Scripture in that point. See, I really have a low view of people who just try and make things fit by affecting God's sovereignty. You know, you do that.
They try to.
We got problems.
They try to exegete their way into everything.
That's right. Exegete into, and they couldn't exegete out.
Wet paper bag, is that how you say it?
That's right. They couldn't think their way or argue their way out of a wet paper bag if the paper bag was tilted at a 45-degree angle, there was a chain pulling them out, and there was a neon sign pointing the way. There you go. How about that?
I love it. Well, I did get me a church sign up. I will be in church tomorrow, man. I'm going to be pastor actually wanting to give my testimony and a little message to the youth group. So I'm in there, man.
Good.
I'm trying to stay strong.
Okay, you do, because if you mess up, you don't make me fly out there and you know, give you a mean stare and a finger point, because I'll do it, you know. You keep yourself right. Now, I got a question for you. I want to know what church it is you're going to go to. What church is it? I want to look them up.
I'm in a Refuge Community Church in Silva, S-Y-L-V-A, North Carolina.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to do this right now. I've got nobody waiting right now, so I can do this. Refuge North, Church of North Carolina, Silva, North Carolina. Check them out. Oops. That wasn't it. It was their Facebook. Let's see. Refuge Church in North Carolina.
I asked him his theology. I told him I wouldn't be spiritually honest with myself if I didn't check his theology first, and he laid it out. He's the triune God. Jesus is God in flesh, come to die, propitiation and atonement, and... He seemed pretty solid from what I could gather.
Oh, that sounds good. Do you have any women pastors and elders?
His wife is the youth leader, but he did not address her as pastor or minister, nothing like that.
Yeah, she should not be called that, and that's a whole other issue. But, okay, good. You know, good for you, man. Good. And, you know, keep checking it out. And,
I got a little, apologetics kind of Facebook page thing I got started trying to get going for people around this area with some of what I've learned and trying to get the message out there, man.
Okay. Well, good for you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, okay, because I've talked to a lot of guys who've been outside, they got out of prison. And not that I'm an expert, but I did talk to a lot of guys in prison and, you know, I've gone into some level 4, 5s, down to 1s, and under the gun and you know, everything. But a lot of the times who the people who get out, they're on a high, and when it gets difficult, it's make or break at that point for a lot of them. Sometimes they go back to their old ways because they're comfortable with it, and it goes bad, and they end up back inside. And this happens. So it's so important for you to get plugged in, and you find some guys in there who will know everything about you, and they'll still love you. And you just make sure that you hang out with these good men, because there are a lot of good ones there, I'm sure. And you stay solid. You stay solid.
Yeah, one of the ladies at the church was my ISS teacher in school. Every time I got suspension, she was a teacher, and I would put her through it, but she was a saint. She stuck, and she never gave up on me. Every time she gets a chance to see me, man, she just runs up and hugs me.
Well, good. And you know this, God won't give up on you either. He'll discipline you. He will shape you, but it's because he wants you to be the man that he wants you to be, so you can be used by him for his glory. All right?
Yeah.
You remember that.
All right. Well, you'll be hearing from me, though, Matt. Keep me in your prayers, and I'm going to do this thing for you.
Well, you know what? We got we have Joanne listening. Joanne's a sweetie, and she's at, I think, 6 hours from you, something like that range. But at any rate, she runs the prayer ministry. And so she will put the word out. People will be praying for you. Okay, Travis? All right, man?
All right, man. I appreciate it so much. God bless, Matt.
God bless. All right. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, I did 9 years of prison ministry. Sometimes going just once a month, sometimes going once a week. Did it for 9 years. Many different prisons in California. That's where I was. And I did some here in the Idaho area for a few years, too, preaching and teaching. And it was good. It was good. Maybe I should start it up again sometime in the future. Okay, let's get to Eric from North Carolina. Eric, welcome. You're on the air.
Brother Matt, thank you so much again for your ministry. Two quick questions. With first is, I love your take on the return of Christ. How people misunderstand. There's one, one left, one taken, and all that. But do you have a particular, a real good article on that type of teaching? Is there some place on your webpage that talks about the return of Christ and how people often mess up, and you discovered that? No.
Yes.
What is that site link?
I'm trying to find it here.
Article.
Let's see.
All right.
Yeah, an examination of this age and the age to come. And in support of amillennialism. Now, that's the article I'm thinking about. And let me go into... Let's see.
In support of amillennialism, did you...
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you'll see... Yeah. You'll see there... I'm looking at the varying verses. Matthew 24... Yeah, Matthew 24 and... The Elector Gathered. It's been a long time since I've looked at this article, but it took me a while to write it, too. But there's and also you can go to the article. I wrote an article, let's see, Carm Hermeneutics. Let me find it because there's breaks coming up. And I go through specifically the issue of Matthew 24, Luke 17, two men in the field, one is taken, one is left. And I use it as an example. And so I'll find that, too.
Okay?
So hold on, buddy. We got a break coming up. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. You can give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. And, how about that? Yeah. Thanks for putting that article link up there. So, Eric, are you still there?
Yeah, and I found that article. I already pulled up, got it saved here because,
Which one?
A couple more, or at least another one.
Yeah, someone put another link in there. Let's see. Are the good or the wicked taken first when Jesus returns? That's an article.
Is that the name of the article?
That's another article. That's kind of related to Matthew 24, Luke 17. Two men in a field, one is taken, one is left, because it's the wicked who are taken. It's, you know, people say it's a rapture. It's not the rapture. The rapture is different. It occurs in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through chapter 5, verse 2. But Matthew 24, but Luke again, 17, two men in a field, it's not rapture. It's not, definitely not.
But again, so, the name of that particular article is what again?
Is are the good or the wicked taken first when Jesus returns? Now, that's a good article to check out. Also, are the good or the wicked taken first when Jesus returns?
Got it.
Go check. And then the article I was telling you about was just how to interpret the Bible, where I go through two men in the field, one is taken, one is left, and look at the context.
Okay.
Let me tell you, 100% of the time that I've shown people this, they see it, they go, you're right, that's what it says. People never what's that?
Is that a third? What? Is that the name of a third article? I didn't get the full title to that third, if you did mention a third there.
Yeah, how to interpret the Bible. And in that, how to interpret the Bible. That's it. That's the whole title of the article, How to Interpret the Bible, where I go through principles, 10 basic principles, and then I use, in that as an illustration, I use the context of two men in the field, one is taken, one is left. And I show how it's not talking about the rapture, it's talking about the wicked.
Right.
And so I will die on that hill, because the Bible, that is what it's teaching there. So when people say it's not, it's they just haven't studied it. No.
Sure.
The rapture occurs. I just want people to know the rapture occurs, but that's out of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through chapter 5, verse 2. So
good enough.
There's that. And then the other article is on the amillennial position, this age and the age to come, the two-age model. And that's something that people just never hear of in church. But the two-age model is the model that Jesus taught and that Paul the Apostle taught. It's what they taught.
Okay.
This age and the age to come. And end of this age, certain things happen. And in the age to come, certain things happen. And this is what it is.
Right.
And what really, you know, I didn't ever hear about it until Kim Riddlebarger told me about it. And that was back in California 40 years ago or 35 years ago, whatever it was. And he turned me on to this. I'm like, I never heard of this. He goes, yep, that's right. And so that's where I got that from. And I've studied it periodically ever since and added things to it. So that's the model that's in the scriptures. That's the eschatological model that's used in the Bible, this age and age to come. It's weird.
All right, excellent. I typically don't get too deep into eschatology. I just know the Lord is coming because so many so-called scholars so much on this whole matter. I typically say, okay, this is just too much, because these scholars, these people who spend their whole lives studying these things, they disagree. And because of that, I typically just, as I said, leave it alone. I don't get too deep. I just know the Lord is returning. Don't know when, but I'm going to. I liked in listening to you. I've really learned quite a bit, and I'm going to check it out a little more in depth. But if you got a moment, I had another point.
Sure.
If that's okay,
yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You're setting. Yeah, thanks. You're on Rumble there, which is great. But I think if there's any way that you could continue to at least use YouTube as a link, keep some sort of current topic or title super small, and that people will see you, and then in that simple, short, 1 or 2 minute video, say, to watch this, go to Rumble. In other words, so many people go to YouTube and have no idea about Rumble, but if you would use YouTube sort of as an advertiser or a headliner to point them to this particular topic, this particular talk, or your live, and keep that thing updated and fresh, because algorithms, the YouTube algorithms, will send people things based upon certain topics that they may be interested in. And I think there shouldn't be an absolute abandonment of YouTube, but use them as the tool, the conduit to get people to see a link in your section, the topic section or further section. Go to Rumble. Don't abandon YouTube altogether because so many people go there.
Oh, yeah, we agree.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no, we agree. It's just that for the show, let's see, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
For the radio show, we just broadcast, and I say things, and they don't like it. We have 22,000 subscribers on the CARM videos, or the CARM org site, I believe it is,
sure.
On YouTube. And I have Matt Slick YouTube has got over 1,000. There, let's see, how much is there, Matt? I don't really do much with these, but I got to start doing stuff with them. And
you want to use YouTube as a commercial. It's kind of a slick way of getting around the fact that, you know, okay, you know, if I can't go in through the front door, I'll go in through the back door to get to these people who need to hear your show. And it just because far more people will go to YouTube, and the algorithms will send them to you. But if you're minimized or things are outdated or are super old, It won't happen. So I just want, you know, YouTube to be pretty much the advertisement or commercial to get them to link over to Rumble. Yeah,
it's an issue. Here's the thing is, I'm just going to whine a little bit. We don't have anybody waiting, so this is just a bit of a whine. But it's, you know, it's a friendly, nice, kind of smiling whine.
Okay.
I just need more people who are experts in varying areas to take over various things and just say, look, let me just work with this one thing. And that would be an area we need to coordinate the YouTube stuff, strategies and things like that, to monetize them, to do various things.
Yeah.
And so we need that. We also need a video editor, because I'm going to start shooting some videos here pretty soon, and I'm going to have to teach myself how to do all the video editing stuff, put stuff in, and make it all quick and slick and sharp and good. And so I need to do that. But, you know, I'll ask someone, like, say on the radio right now, I'm asking, right? And we have, I don't know how many thousands of people on our newsletter list. I could ask. And people volunteer. And here's the thing. This is why I'm saying this. I want people to take it seriously. Because two things often happen when we get volunteers. And that's, one is they get burned out after a couple of weeks and a couple, 3 weeks. They realize it's not as easy as they thought it was. And I get that. I get that. And the other one is that there's often a spiritual attack that comes with working with CARM. I remember one guy about 3 years ago, we got talking. He goes, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. He said, it just got too bad too fast working with you. I says, well, I warned you. And I do. I warn people. That, you know, sometimes people get under attack. Now, we've got Laura who works with us. And she's gung-ho. She's not afraid. We've got Ernie. He worked with us. He's gung-ho. He's not afraid. We have Charlie who works with us. And these are the guys who, these three volunteer, and they do a great deal, and they really help us out. And we need more volunteers, because there's so much. I got a lot of good things on the plate, but I just need a lot of help, and not just the mental kind.
Well, that is great. One thing, I don't know if are you familiar with David Wood, who used to be part of Act 17 Apologetics?
He had so much
headache, hardship, and just. Caught so much flack from the deception of those in the Islamic community who were getting his videos censored. He had to challenge. You know some of his stories. So he abandoned YouTube, which I thought was a huge mistake. I said maybe he should use YouTube as a way to keep pointing people over. If he has a particular article or a statement, use a short minute or so, get a little bit of monetization of that short 2 minutes there from YouTube, but tell people, go over to Rumble to hear the remainder of this particular topic. And it would keep those Islamic crazies who were just lying about him to get him taken off. It would take care of that. And now he's back with Apologetics Roadshow, and it's pretty neat, but he's back again. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I know Dave, and you know, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I could call him up and say, hey, man, what's the latest, and find out. But, you know, he's a good guy. He knows his stuff, and he wants to serve the Lord. So there's going to be an attack from the demonically inspired religion of Islam, and we expect that.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's just part of what it is to fight.
Wow.
That's right.
Thank you. thank you so much for indulging me this long. But, yeah, there are ways to, I think there are clever ways you might be able to circumvent some of the distortions and the hijacked way YouTube is to be to get rid of people like you. I hate that what they do. It's horrible. But I pray for you. Love you so much.
No, I agree with you. It's what they're doing is not fair, and they're inconsistent, no. And people can say all kinds of bad stuff about conservatives, and they don't say anything, and yet you quote the CDC website like I do, and I'm in trouble.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? That's insane. That is blatantly evil. These people are just, something's really messed up with these people in a very demonic way. It's sad, but this is the world we live in, the God of this age. The prince of the power of the air. This is the way he does it. Mm-hmm. These are his children, and his children do his will, his bidding. So,
that's right.
Wow. I love that's you right. so much, Matt, and just continue to, you know, keep that chin high and press on. You know, you're on the winning side, the winning team, and, you know, his truth marches on, brother.
It does march on. We win. Our hope is in Christ.
Amen.
And even though Amen. They are the enemies of the gospel, I don't want to them to suffer what's coming to them. They need the gospel, and they need to be saved. Because even though we understand that, you know, they are serving the evil one, they're working against God's truth, as so many are, that I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to face the judgment that is coming to them. It's not something I look forward to seeing or knowing or whatever. It's just not what I want. And we need to pray for that.
This is why I love you. This is why I love you, brother. I love your passion, man. You don't quit. You don't give up. You know, we have members in the body of Christ, you know, so many different members. You are what I refer to as an antibody. The antibodies in the body of Christ to get rid of the germs, to expose, to get rid of the things that damage and hurt and harm or slow down the body of Christ. So you are an antibody in the body of Christ. Those of us who are in apologetics, we're antibodies.
Well, I don't think I've ever been called that before. I've been called a few other things. So that's a new one. So I'm an antibody. Okay. Well, that's good.
All right.
Thank you so much, brother.
Again, I appreciate your indulgence. God bless.
All right, Eric. Thanks, man. Perfect timing. There's the end of the show. And, hey, call back again. All right? God bless, brother.
All right.
Well, that was Eric. There's the end of the music, or the end of the show, the music. May the Lord bless you. And by his grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. God bless, everybody. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.